Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Do you feel like you are stuck in a dinner rut? With HelloFresh, you get fresh pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Go to the link in our show notes to get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit.
Now here's the best Stay Tuned Sports Podcast.
And hello there, all you Stay Tuners. Welcome back to another episode of Stay Tuned Sports. It's your good friend Jimbo here, bearing the hurricane or tropical storm, whatever it is, Ida. So hopefully we can get through this episode without any interruptions from it. But in case you guys hear some rain out there, it's coming down pretty good. Hopefully you guys are staying safe during this storm as well. And what fitting way for the show. You know, we got an interesting storm going on, and we got some interesting stories to talk about that happened this past week. Got ESPN has a pie on their face, basically, as well as something that I talked about last week happened, and I am excited for it. Can't wait till the season starts to see how it all unfolds. But before we get into the show, make sure you guys head over to staytunesports.net so that way you can follow all of our social media accounts. They're all on the right-hand side there. Click which one you want to follow or whatnot. It takes you right to the page. And you click the button. Like, thumbs up, whatever it is. And then as well as top of our website page, we have the merchandise tab there. In case you want to buy a shirt or a hoodie. You know, fall is slowly coming around, and you know, you might want to buy a Stay Tuned Sports hoodie. There's a nice one on there. And, you know, if you don't want to support us that way, that's fine. I am totally fine with that. Totally understand. If you want to head over and support it a different way, you can head over to www.buymeacoffee.com/stsports. And in honor of football season starting, well, college football season starting this weekend, you can buy me a beer or however many beers you want to buy. And all that money, and I'm still trying to figure out if I want to do gift cards for giveaways for the football season or whatnot. It'll only make the giveaway that much better and bigger for you guys. Not sure if I'm going to do a jersey giveaway or maybe a gift card to NFL.com or something like that, that you guys could choose what jersey you want. I mean, obviously, me personally, I would want a Gardner Minshew jersey. What? That's something possibly we'll be talking about later on? but getting into the show here, talked a little bit about ESPN getting pie on their face. Now this story, I'm sure everybody has seen and heard already about a made up high school got in contact with ESPN, and that the high school name that they were being called was Bishop Sycamore. Got in touch with ESPN and say, hey, you know, we got a bunch of prospects in the top 100. We want to take on this high school, nationally ranked high school, and play them and show you how good we are, this and that. Well, now, before getting into the actual what happened during that game and how this all starts to unfold, ESPN obviously does play a lot of high school games with teams that are very, very, very good. Nationally known or nationally ranked high, but they turns out that they don't do their homework and decide who goes on. It's actually this other group that they work with. They're called Paragon Marketing Group, and they're the ones that actually say to ESPN, hey, this team versus this team might be a good ratings game for you guys to put on. Well, I'd be willing to bet this one was a pretty good ratings game too, because Bishop Sycamore got their butts kicked by the other team 58-0. Okay, and even on the game itself, the broadcast itself, the announcers were even taking shots at ESPN subtly, I guess you would say, because they never actually said ESPN. But they came out and said that, you know, Bishop Sycamore told us that, you know, they have X amount of prospects in the top 100. And to be honest with you folks, we could not verify that. Now, not only could they not verify the prospects that they were claiming to have up in the top 100, they couldn't verify any type of locations for the school or where they are practicing at the facilities. And to take it even a step further, how, like I said, I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg and just going downhill right now for them. The Ohio High School Athletic Association doesn't even recognize this school as a high school, a legitimate high school. Okay. It turns out that the football team was made up of junior college dropouts. And that makes it even worse. These kids, these junior college kids, 19, 20 years old, going up against 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, got their ass kicked by kids. And it's coming out that the head coach of this team is wanted for fraud. But that's not all. Now there's players coming out that used to play for this team, saying, just basically laying all the dirty laundry out there, saying the head coach made them rob stores so they could, you know, just to be able to eat. They lived in hotels for 5 months. And what I was gathering from the stories that kept coming out and what this kid was saying, because he didn't want to say his name, it sounded like the athletic director, quote, athletic director for this fake school would show up to these kids, these 15, 16-year-old kids' houses, and try to pitch to their parents that the school that they have is like the next up-and-coming private school, that, you know, you want the best teachings for your school, you want to send them here, this and that. And this kid that's coming out said that when he showed up to the hotel, because they told him all that the school's being built, that's why they gotta stay in the hotels and learn there, he said it went 2 or 3 months before they realized there's gonna be no school. There was no schooling. They were never being taught anything. And as far as football games, he said they never practiced. Well, I mean, 58-0 shows that you don't practice, especially when you're getting beat by kids younger than you. So now that that's all laid out there, how in this day and age, in this electronic field age, does this get through the cracks of how this school is a fake school? You're telling me that there's not one intern in ESPN that wants to make a name for themselves, Googled about this school, and went to the bosses and be like, hey, there's something fishy about this. And pretty much ESPN and this Paragon marketing group is pointing fingers at each other. ESPN basically saying, well, we just put them on. We trust what the marketing group comes to us with, so that's on them, that they should do their homework. And the marketing group didn't help themselves by saying, we were not, you know, we couldn't verify any of this stuff. So why go ahead with the game? I just can't believe there's nothing coming out yet that so-and-so stepped down from ESPN or so-and-so stepped down from Paragon, because it's not like, you know, this game was on channel 3098 on FUBU TV or something like that, some stupid little app. This was on ESPN. This is a big deal. This is where a lot of these kids start to put a little bit of film or put some tape out there for college recruiters, and you just made a joke out of it. You know, and the other thing too is, again, you had 15, 16, 17 year old kids playing these 19, 20 year olds. They're lucky no one got hurt. whether it be on, you know, either team. I mean, you got bigger kids tackling smaller kids, even though these smaller kids are probably more in shape than Bishop Sycamore. There could have been a lot of lawsuits if players got hurt and ESPN didn't know about it. I think from here on out, I think what ESPN should do is, listen, no more third party. It's just like the old saying, like, or, you know, thing that, like, okay, I could tell you this box is purple, then you could go to the next person, and they go to the next person. By the time it gets back to me, the box is yellow. You know, cut out the middleman. Do your own work. Do your own homework. Google's out there. You probably have enough employees that you could probably put 10, 15 people to get some info about a high school team to make sure they're legitimate before you even announce putting them on there. Like, there were so many red flags about the story. I just don't understand how ESPN could say, okay, we're going to go ahead with this. You couldn't verify any prospects, which means you couldn't verify any of their stats, even though after the game you find out they played three games in 2 days, or 2 games in 3 days, that's right, I'm sorry, and got outscored just as much as they did this past game. So this is definitely a bad look for ESPN. I've seen some people say, oh, Disney, that's what happens when Disney gets involved with ESPN. This still falls on ESPN. Disney just owns them. They're a step below Disney. I'm pretty sure they don't have to get okays from them to, hey, can we play this high school football game on TV? I mean, ESPN's been around for 30 years, maybe longer. I forget exactly. I think late 80s when they came out. Pretty sure that they have the name, that they don't really need to get every little detail approved from Disney. But the detail that should get approved from Disney is someone getting fired. Yay! Next up is something I kind of touched on a little bit top of the show, but I also talked about last week on the show, and that is Minshew Mania in Philly. I'll be really honest, I did not think it would happen, just because why would you bring a player like Minshew? Okay, yes, he's not Tom Brady, but he's also not Nick Mullins, okay? Why would you trade for him to be your third string quarterback? And I will touch on that in a second here. But when I found out about this, I mean, our good friend King texted me, when am I getting a Minshew jersey? And I'm telling you, I'm buying one. That'll probably be the first time probably any fan has worn a third string player, let alone a quarterback, jersey. I've always said I thought he was a good quarterback on a shitty team. You think about that team past 2 years. What did they have? They had nothing. They just nothing. Okay? He came in as a rookie. He beat out Nick Foles for a starting job. And this is another reason I think he's going to be well-liked in Philly. He played 4 or 5 games with a broken thumb before the coaches found out about it. So he had to get benched till it got better. By that point, the season was over. He only came in another game or two. He ended up losing it. But again, what did he have around him? He was the team. And you look at some of the stats, there's stats out there that he's better than Mahomes. Dak Prescott, I think, was another one he was on a list of. Like, you know, he's not a bad quarterback. I'm not saying he's Mahomes. Okay, so before you call up the Stay Tuned Sports chat line, 612-STS chat, and start screaming at me, I'm not saying he's Mahomes. What I'm saying, though, is this could be a Nick Foles-esque type story. Okay. I would like to see, and I would like to think the coach is going to let him have a chance to win the number two quarterback spot throughout the season. You know, obviously he's not going to take snaps away during the season from Hurts, who was named a starter, obviously. But give him a chance to take the number two spot away from Flacco, which I think he'll do within a couple weeks. Flacco did not look that good this preseason. Which brings me to my next point. Flacco is on a one-year contract. He's retiring after this year. Honestly, I don't know why Philly signed him to that type of contract. You know, maybe they didn't think they could get Gilbert Minshew or Gardner Minshew. I don't know why I called him Gilbert. even though Minshew wanted to be with Philly since the summer, beginning of the summer. It was coming out yesterday. And he kind of stated it in his press conference today. Now, Philly did not give up a lot for him. They gave up a sixth-round draft pick that could become a fifth-round draft pick. And the best comparison I saw so far was you basically gave up a draft pick where you would normally draft a developmental quarterback. You don't have to develop Minshew that much. He's proven he's a good quarterback. And what this does now, also, is let's say Hurts doesn't play good this year. You still have Minshew under contract next year, and cheap. I think it was like $800,000 or $900,000. He could play in a pinch, you know, with everything going on with COVID. You know, we got a little scared there in the second preseason game with Jalen Hurts, even though it wasn't COVID related. All it takes is one time. And if Jalen Hurts goes out, I'm sorry, I cannot see Philly going to Flacco, even if he's named number two quarterback. Minshew would be the better option over Flacco. I don't want to say yet he's the better option over Hurts. Hurts has looked a little better this preseason compared to the end of last season, but like I always say, it's preseason. Shit. Cam Newton looked good all preseason too, but what's he doing now? Waiting for Bishop Sycamore to call him to sign him? I mean, Mac Jones is starting to pit Patriots now. And that's all it takes, you know? Whether the stories about Cam Newton's true, you know, they come because of vaccination stance, or I saw another one, they come because of his race. Let's just stop that. That's stupid. If that was the case, why would they even sign him to the contract? So just stop at that one. But, and Minshew just has that aura, whatever you want to call that, you know, that energy he gives off, and that Philly fans will love. Just like, again, just like Jalen Hurts. Hurts gives off the same energy. And even though, you know, I'm really pushing this whole Minshew, you know, I want to see him play this and that, I am curious to see how Hurts plays. He has weapons around him where Minshew didn't have these type of weapons in Jacksonville. You know, he had Leonard Fournette, good running back, a lot of drama with him. Not many good receivers. Not a good offensive line. You know, like, I just think this is a good pickup for Philly. And even if Jalen Hurts plays well and we find out that he might be our franchise quarterback, we have our number two guy for next year. A quality number two guy that could come in, play well, just like Nick Foles did in our Super Bowl year when Carson got hurt. But I kind of like the stipulation though with the draft pick. And it's not 50% of snaps for the season. It's if he plays 50% of the snaps in three games. So almost like if they want to do like a wildcat where he's the quarterback and Jalen Hurts is lined up as running back or something, which would be an interesting plays. But I definitely do like this pick. I think it was a good pick. Nick Mullins is gone. You know, we didn't necessarily need a third quarterback, but I think just this shows they're looking to the future, you know, next year, And also, I think it shows that they're not fully sold on Joe Flacco. So I can't wait till the season starts. Football is here, especially this weekend. You got Notre Dame and Florida State Sunday night. You got a lot of good games on Saturday, too. I started to think maybe I'd do my game of the week this week, but I'll hold off till the NFL season starts. But I will put a pick out there. Alabama versus Miami. I'm not saying I won't be surprised if Miami upsets Alabama, but it wouldn't shock me. Just because of, you think about every college football season, every, you know, week one, week two, there's always a upset. And this would be the one I would pick to be the upset. Just because, you know, Alabama's offense has a lot of new faces. And hopefully Miami steamrolls them, which would be even better. But I'd be happy if Miami upsets Alabama and Nick Saban can shut the hell up now. Up next, we have our Comeback Corner segment, which is sponsored by BetAngles. Live scores, odds, and the best expert picks every day. Start winning today at BetAngles.com. So this weekend, this Saturday, we have a UFC fight night, Derek Brunson versus Darren Till. Should be a good fight, possibly. Or it could be a boring fight. Yeah, I don't think this one's going to be in the middle there. I was going to say, you know, maybe it could be like Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley, but I didn't watch the fight, and quite honestly, I'm over Jake Paul and Logan Paul. Hopefully he stays retired and doesn't come back, even though a couple hours after he said he was retired, he's unretired now. But it looks like a decent card for UFC. Main event, obviously, Derek Brunson versus Darren Till. The co-main event, we have Tom Aspinall versus Sergey Spivak. Before them, we have Alex Morano versus David Zawada. Before that one, we have a light heavyweight bout between Modestas Bukauskas versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. And then lightweight fight between UFC newcomer Paddy Pimblett versus Luigi Vanaremini. Probably destroyed that last night. I mean, if he's listening, I am sorry. Just don't beat me up. But, you know, out of like four or five fights on this card, you know, the Paddy Pimblett fight I'm interested to see, just because UFC for the past couple years has been trying to sign him to a contract. And for whatever reason, whatever, you know, whether he felt like he wasn't ready yet or the numbers just didn't line up, they finally got it done. Makes his debut here. And just a little background on him. Even though he's a new UFC comer, he's aiming high. He's already trash-talking Conor McGregor, said he's going to sleep him within the first round, which, the way Conor's been fighting, yeah, probably would. He fought in Cage Warriors before here, and he was actually 3-1, with the one loss being in the title fight. He's a striker. He's got a lot of power, which them matching Luigi up to Paddy here was a smart move on UFC. If they feel like they got a star here, you know, I kind of feel like they're taking it slow with him, because Luigi is 1-2 in UFC. But also on the flip side, he could play as spoiler or upset fighter for this fight, because, you know, he's not supposed to beat Paddy here. Okay, but you have a newcomer. How many times have we seen newcomers debuting in UFC and just fall flat on their face? Now, with that being said, I am not taking Luigi here. I think Paddy's just going to run through him. Not sure if he's going to knock him out or submit him, but I definitely think he's going to win within the first two rounds of the fight. Then after that match, we have a light heavyweight fight with Modestas Bukauskas versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. This one's an interesting fight with everything going on with the UFC roster, with the turnover. Dana White contender series, just added two more fighters to their roster. This could be a make or break fight for both of these guys, because Bukakis is 1-2 in the UFC with one loss, was by a knockout, and another was by split decision. So at least he shows he likes to mix it up. And when he does mix it up, if he doesn't get knocked out, it's a close fight. Roundtree, though, on the other hand, he's only fought three fights in the past 2 years. And in those 2 years, he went 1-2. His one win, I believe, was not this last fight, the fight before that. So if this fight is not entertaining, I could see both fighters actually being cut. But whoever wins, I think, would make a better case than the other to say, hey, Dana, just give me one more try. You know, you let Kevin Lee stick around. He has five losses out of the last seven fights. Just give me one more fight. Let me show you I deserve to be here. As far as my pick, though, I'm going with Khalil Roundtree. I think he's going to knock him out here. He's got a lot of power standing there. They both are strikers, so they're both probably going to stand and bang. And who knows? I mean, if both these guys, like I said, feel like they're on the roster bubble here, maybe they'll bring it, and maybe this will be the fight of the night candidate. Then we have the welterweight fight, Alex Morano versus David Zawada. Morano is 3-2 last five, but the thing is, he knocked out Cowboy Cerrone. Let's be honest, Cowboy's way over his prime. And he lost to Pettis, who now is in PFL. So he lost to a guy that is no longer in the UFC, okay? Zawada is 1-3, with two of his three losses being by decision. So he's right there, Zawada. Just has to find that final thing to put himself over the hump to get that win. And with that being said, I'm going with Zawada. I think he finally figures out, puts it all together, and gets his win here in the UFC. Then it's co-main event time. We have Tom Aspinall versus Sergey Spivak. I've always liked Spivak. You know, he's an interesting fighter. Doesn't back down. You know, always moving forward towards his fighter. And this should be a really good fight, though, too, because also Aspinall is 3-0 in UFC. He has two knockouts and one submission, and one submission is against Andrei Arlovski. Well-known fighter, obviously, a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame fighter in UFC. And Spivak is 4-1 in his last five. But he has a lot more experience in UFC, and I think that's what's going to show here if it does just say go, you know, decision. I think Spivak's experience in UFC is going to show, and unless Aspinall could put this fight away within the first round and a half, I think his inexperience is going to start to show that second half of the fight. So I'm going with Sergey Spivak with the win. Then for the main event, Derek Brunson versus Darren Till. Darren Till, like, it's weird. Like, I don't think he's a great fighter. He's an okay fighter, I think. I think he got handed the Tyrone Woodley championship fight to him. But he's funny when he's doing press conferences. Like, he knows how to sell a fight. And Derek Brunson, he just doesn't know how to sell fights to me. You know, watching his press conferences, and that might be his demeanor, though. That might be his personality, where he's just laid back, just takes, you know, one step at a time, and doesn't like to take shots at other fighters. But with that being said, Brunson has been on fire lately. He's 4-1 in his last five, and he beat Holland last fight by decision. Darren Till, on the other hand, is 3-2 his last five, but he has fought tougher opponents. He lost by decision to Robert Whittaker last fight, a tough fighter. Kevin Gastelum, he beat. You know, so I think if Darren Till could keep Brunson off of him, away from the wrestling and the, you know, laying on him, all that stuff, I think Darren Till's going to win. And I think that's what's going to happen. So my pick there is going to be Darren Till. Quite possibly a decision, but I think Darren Till will be able to win the decision there. So that is our combat corner, like I said, which is sponsored by Bet Angles. Live scores, odds, and the best expert picks every day. Start winning today at betangles.com. And like I said, you got football coming up, so you might want to head over there and get some expert opinions over there, you know, advice. So I think that's going to be it for us this week. But before we go, make sure you head over to staytunedsports.net. All our social media accounts are on the right-hand side there. You're going to want to click and follow and like them, especially with the football season come up. I'll probably be on there bitching about my Eagles or put Gardner Minshew in there. And our merch tab is up top there in case you want to buy some merch. If you want to support the show another way, just head over to www.buymeacoffee.com/stsports and buy me a beer for football season. So, till next week, this is your good friend Jimbo, signing out.